You know that the sun is setting on a culture when small men cast long shadows. Today, we pay millions of dollars to guys who are thugs and ought to be in prison. What we desperately need today are men of God. What we desperately need today are women of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick makes it possible for anyone to study and understand what the Word of God really says. Whether you've just started studying the Bible, you've been studying for a while, or you're a biblical scholar, there's something for you in this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about how you can get this entire teaching collection called 40 Days in the Word for your personal audio library on CD or MP3 download. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How to Study a Bible Passage.
How often do you make life-taking risks for the benefit of somebody else? That's a godly man. He made an inconvenient journey for the benefit of another. He made a peace trip. He puts the cause of Christ before comfort. Paul's in prison in Rome. He's in Greece. The church takes up a lost love offering. No planes, no trains, no automobiles. And he volunteers to be the courier, and he nearly dies. And yet he perseveres in spite of his pain. He's committed to finishing what he started. Now, let me ask you this. If your pastor, that's me, asked you to take an offering to another church and you'd have to walk 800 miles to take it, would you do that? If I were to ask you to take an offering 800 miles for the benefit of another church and it required, would you do that? That's the kind of courageous attitude a godly man has. There aren't many men like this today. It's very rare. Most people says, I'll live for Christ when it's convenient. And, I'll forget church. Church, I love church, as long as there's not a good game on. And, if it's coming on soon, I will leave early because the game is more important to me than God. God uses courageous people who put people before profits and who put courage before comfort and convenience. Who put service before security, who take a risk for the kingdom of God, who serve God and others with reckless abandonment. That's a godly man. And Paul says, you need to honor men like that. The phrase here, he risked his life, in Greek literally is, he hazarded his life. It's a gambling term. He's going to roll the dice and going, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to make it back, but I'm going to make sure that offering from that church gets to Paul in Rome. And if I die trying, so be it. I die trying. He is God's great gambler. I see guys gambling their lives on stupid stuff today instead of gambling on stuff that'll make their lives count and last forever. He's God's gambler. He's gambling his life for Jesus Christ. Is your commitment to Christ deep enough to cause you to risk anything in your life for it? Or is it just a convenient faith? You see, today, Christianity is filled with wimp religion. There's no teeth in it. No commitment, no sacrifice, no heroes. I thank God that Saddleback Church is filled with godly men. We would not have the peace plan if it weren't filled with men who are godly gamblers. You don't send 15,000 people overseas to every nation without having a bunch of guys going, we'll do it. We'll do it, Pastor Rick. We're going. We're going for it. I mean, think of the excuses Epaphroditus could have said. Wait a minute, I got a business to run. I got a family to take care of. I got kids in school. You're going to ask me to leave my work, to leave my shop, and to take 2 or 3 months and travel to another nation to help another church? It sounds like what we're doing right now at Saddleback. You're asking me to leave my home for a couple months and go help some church get started in Rome or London or Berlin or Buenos Aires? No. I've got my agenda. Paul says, I don't have anybody like Timothy. He genuinely cares about other people, not just his own agenda. I thank God for the godly men of courage at Saddleback. Guys like my dad. My dad was an average preacher, but he was a pretty good carpenter. And he knew how to build stuff. And in his lifetime, he traveled all over the world at his expense, building over 150 church buildings. He built them in Iran. He built them in South America. He built them up near the North Pole. He built them in Guatemala after earthquakes. He's been, you know, all around the world in many, many, many different places, firebombed churches in Jerusalem. He'd go and rebuild them. When Saddam pushed the Kurds into northern Iraq after the Gulf War, it was my dad who took 19 guys in, and those Kurdish refugees were dying of thirst because Saddam had pushed them up in an area that had no water. My dad took 19 guys in, just church guys, and they went in and they dug 9 wells and saved the lives of those Kurdish Muslims. They weren't Christians. They were Muslims. Why? Because Jesus loves everybody. And I remember at age 76, my dad was dying of cancer. And his lungs were half filled with water. And he told me, he said, Rick, I think I got one more trip in me. I want to go to Siberia and build a church. And I said, Dad, you've always been a godly gambler. If you want to die with your boots on, so be it. And if you die on the roof in a church in Siberia, that's probably the way you'd like to go rather than hooked up to a bunch of stuff at home looking out on a golf course. One of the last pictures of my dad that I have in my office is my dad on the top of a roof in a little church in Siberia in the snow, nailing down the roof at 76. That is a godly man. That is a man who made his life count for more than golf, for more than making money, for more than having fun. He made his life count in the jungles of Brazil and Alaska and Australia.
We'll continue our series, 40 Days in the Word, in just a few moments. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Thanks so much for being with us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you love what you're hearing and don't want to miss any part of this series, then contact us right away to get your own copy. The 40 Days in the Word Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for your personal audio library and for sharing with friends and family. The series is available as a CD box set or by high-quality MP3 download. We'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. The collection includes 7 complete commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this 40 Days in the Word complete audio series. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 99000. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
One of the last pictures of my dad that I have in my office is my dad on the top of a roof in a little church in Siberia in the snow, nailing down the roof at 76. That is a godly man. That is a man who made his life count for more than golf, for more than making money, for more than having fun. He made his life count in the jungles of Brazil and Alaska and Australia. Now, this is the second stage. First, observation. What does it say? Then we looked at interpretation. What does it mean? Well, it's saying these people are worthy honor. What kind of people are worthy honor? Caring, consistent, cooperative, considerate, courageous people. Now we go to the third thing, which is correlation. Correlation is we ask in a Bible study, is there anything else in the Bible that will help me understand this passage? Now, the first question I'd ask is there anything else in the Bible about these guys named Timothy and Epaphroditus? And the answer is, oh, yeah. In fact, there's two complete books in the Bible about Timothy. They're called 1st and 2nd Timothy. So I could go and I could read 1st and 2nd Timothy and find out a whole lot more about why this guy, Paul said, there's nobody else like him. And then what about Epaphroditus? He's mentioned one other time. Later on in this book, two chapters later, in Philippians chapter 4, it tells us why they sent him. So I'd ask that. The other thing I might ask is I'd ask, well, does the Bible have anything to say about these qualities, about caring and about consistency and cooperation and consideration and courage? And so I would go and do, what does the Bible say about these things? Now, to do that, you have to use what's called a concordance. You can buy one of these out on the patio or on Amazon or whatever. A concordance is a word index of every word in the Bible. And so it shows you what the Bible says about every single word. It's just a word index. And depending on your translation, if you have a New International Version translation, you want to get a New International Version concordance because it'll have the words in there. If you have a Living Bible translation, you want a Living Bible concordance. This one here is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Okay, and it's a the King James Version. Now, it has every word in it. So, for instance, if I want to say, what does the Bible say about debt? I'm in debt right now. What is it about? I'd look up the word debt, and it would give me every single verse in the Bible on debt that uses the word debt. If I say, what about business? I'd like to know, are there any business principles in the Bible? What does the Bible say about business? And I'd say, well, let's look up the word business. And I'd find the word business, and it gives me every verse in the Bible on business. If I say, what about success? I want to be successful in life. What does the Bible say about success? And I would look up the word success, and it would give me every verse in the Bible on success. Now, an exhaustive concordance is one that has every word in the Bible. That's the one you want. I mean, like this one has every the. It'll tell you where every the is if you want to do a Bible study of the word the. I don't recommend it, but the. Okay. And so most study Bibles themselves, a study Bible is a Bible that has some study tools added into it. And at the end of study Bibles, they have what's called a baby concordance. At the very back, it's a smaller index of words. It doesn't have every word, but it has a few of the main words to help you look up. And when sometimes you can remember a word in the verse, but you don't know where it is, you go, like for instance, for God so loved the world. Okay. And I say, well, okay, I don't know where that one is. Let's look up world. And it would tell you the main verses that use the word world. And then you know where that verse is in the Bible. It's an index. Now you need one of these to do correlation. You can't do correlation any other way. You got to get a concordance. Now, I'm not going to go into this any deeper because in your study workbook that you have in small groups, there's a section on Bible study methods and there's a section on tools for effective Bible study, tools you need for study. You need to read that. If you're like me and you like to study lots of translations, you're going to want to get a software program that gives all the concordances of all the translations together. Let me give you an example. Look up here on the screen. This is a program I like to use. It's called Word Search. And Word Search is a program that has, my particular program here has 15 different translations. Let's see if it's coming up on screen. It's not on this one down here. So see here it says Philippians 2, and I can read it in the New International Version, in the New Living, in the New Century. And I can just go down and read one verse at a time and see how it compares in each different translation. I go, oh, and that gives me an interpretation as I read through these. But let's say I finish and I will say, I want to study, Timothy. What else is there about Timothy? So I could say by words, and I would go Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y. And I'm going to study Timothy in every translation. Boom. And it's going to tell me there These are all the verses on Timothy in the Bible. Starting, he's first mentioned in Acts 16:1 and in Acts 16:2 and Acts 16:3. He's mentioned in Acts 17. And I just go through the Bible and find every verse on Timothy. Or let's say I say, look, I want to study the word considerate, because I need to be more considerate of my husband. I need to be more considerate of my wife. So I put that word considerate in there and I hit all. And the word considerate is used, see up here, 18 times in the Bible. Okay. And I would just start going down and looking at them. And it's highlighted. For instance, here, this one says, we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. I need that one. Here's one over here. I try my best to be considerate of everyone's feelings in these matters. Here's another one. Be courteous and considerate in everything. He was most considerate of how we felt. And then here's Philippians 4:5. Let everyone know how considerate you are. The Lord is near. See how cool that is? But that's how you would do correlation. Finally, you come to the fourth thing in Bible study, which is application. And remember, this is the most important thing of all. You've heard me say this before. You only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do. It's not enough to study the Bible. Study is not enough. Study will give you a big brain, little heart. You got to do it. Remember, don't deceive yourselves. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, James 1:22. So you want to do what it says. Now, in application, you do what I've been teaching you in the small groups. And I've already taught you three ways on how to do an application. We talk about picture it. What's the scene in your mind? You could do that. Pronounce it. Say a word one sentence at a time. This last week, if you were in small groups, we talked about space pets. Anybody remember space pets? Okay. 9 questions to ask about any text. And you say, space pets, SPACEPETS. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an attitude to change? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray in this verse? Is there an error to avoid? Is there something truth to believe? Is there something I can thank God for? And I would do space pets on this passage. Say, is there a sin to confess? Maybe. There's one in my life. Is there a promise to claim? No. Is there an attitude to change? Yes. I need to change that attitude. Is there a command to obey? Yes. Honor men like this. Is there an example to follow? Yes. 5 examples. The example of consistency, the example of caring, the example of cooperating, the example of being considerate, the example of being courageous. And so I would look at this and go, is there a command to obey? Yeah, honor. Example to follow? 5. Attitude to change? Yes. And then I would write out a sentence on what I'm going to do about it. Personal, practical, possible, provable. Set a date. And I'd write out a date. Let me give you a couple examples of what you might have as an application of what we just studied. Okay? First it says, honor those like this. So I'd go, do I know anybody like this? Do I know any men in my life who are caring and consistent and cooperative and considerate and courageous? Do I know anybody like that? Then I need to honor them. It may be your dad. It may be your husband, a brother, a boyfriend. It may be a Christian friend that you know, somebody you know. The Bible commands you to honor those godly men. So you figure out a way to honor them this week. You write them a thank you note. In my case, you could have sent me Cinnabons before Daniel Plan. The bottom line is you look for ways to thank people. You know what I did, my personal one, when I was studying this? Friday, 3 leaders from Moscow, Russia, flew to America to meet with us and our peace team. These 3 men are responsible for about 60% of all the churches in Russia. They are godly men. And they stood for the faith during all those years when communism was trying to stamp out Christianity in Russia, when it was against the law to be a believer. You could be thrown in the gulag, you could be killed, you could be tortured. And those guys stood the test. They were proven faithful. So you know what I did when they left? I wrote them thank you notes. Thank you, not for coming to see me. Thank you for staying firm to the gospel. Thank you for standing up for the faith when it wasn't convenient. In all those years when it was against the law in Russia to be a believer. You need to honor men like that. So I first would say, how can I honor other people? If you know somebody who's consistent, caring, cooperative, considerate, courageous, you do that. And then the second thing, application, I go, which of these am I going to work on in my life this week? Which one am I the weakest on? Do I need to be more considerate? Do I need to be more courageous for the cause of Christ? Do I need to be more caring and think about other people, not just my own agenda and my business deal and my needs? Do I need to be more cooperative and actually be a part of a team, be in a small group? And you write down which ones you're going to work on. Friends, this message is desperately needed today because we are in a culture that idolizes celebrities. Shallow people doing shallow things, and we put them on the cover of magazines and pay them millions of dollars to be shallow. Yesterday, I tweeted a statement. I said, you know that the sun is setting on a culture when short, small men cast long shadows. You know that the sun is setting on a culture when small men cast long shadows. Today, we pay millions of dollars to guys who are thugs and ought to be in prison. What we desperately need today are men of God. What we desperately need today are women of God who are caring, consistent, cooperative, considerate, and courageous. And you thought this passage had nothing to say.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com or iTunes and download our podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement. If you'd like to have this entire series on CD or downloadable MP3s for your personal library, just contact us today and request the 40 Days in the Word Complete audio series by Pastor Rick Warren. We'll send it to you right away as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. The collection includes 7 complete commercial-free messages from Pastor Rick Warren that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
I love getting letters from you. Let me share a little bit longer one. It's from Sarah and her 4-year-old son. She said, Pastor Rick, my husband and I are involved in a church plant in Salem, Massachusetts. And I make an effort every day to listen to other pastors preach via podcast. But I began listening to your Daily Hope podcast, and I stumbled across Christians in the Workplace and that small group study that you did. That has been a great study and quite relevant to us. Thank you for making your materials available beyond Saddleback Church. Pastor Rick, as a result of my regular listening to your podcast, my son now frequently asks to listen to the sermons. He's 4.5 years old. And one morning on our way to church, he asked me to put on a sermon. I love this kid. He said, I had a Pastor Craig podcast in the queue, but began to listen, but my son kept asking to listen to a sermon by you, and I kept telling him this was a sermon. Then he said, no, I want to listen to Pastor Rick Warren. That's funny. Well, when your 4-year-old son, Sam, asked to listen to Rick Warren, you listened to Rick Warren. So I asked Sam why he liked to listen to you. He said, I like what Pastor Rick says. And he said, he says, if you don't swing from one bar to another, you're just going to hang there. Well, I was shocked that he had picked up that truth. That was just one of the recent Daily Hope messages where you talked about faith. And you were referring to where trapeze artists have to let go of one bar before they reach onto the second. And all of that just to say, thank you for the work you do, for the messages you teach. And it goes noticed even by the youngest of human beings, my 4-year-old son, Best Sarah. Well, what can I say, Sarah? This is just such a great story. Thank you, and thank your 4-year-old son, Sam, for listening. And thank you for your ministry in Salem, Massachusetts. May God bless your church, and may all of you join me next time as we continue to look at God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.